T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Offsides. Mark Ryan and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate, rolling on a hump day edition of the show. What are you most looking forward to when we get back to a sense of normalcy? On another topic, Scotty Myers tweets into the show. He says, college football is a weird sport to rate, man. Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks I've seen, but that LSU team isn't the greatest I've ever seen. I'd take the 2009 Gators, hell yeah, or the 2002 Hurricanes against the 2019 LSU Tigers. It was great. They were great, but not world-beating, in my humble opinion. Scotty, I would agree. Jacob Smith says, man, you know what? I'm gonna go to a drive or a triumph game. No drive game this year, sadly. Triumph game, yes, though. I'm going to grab an ice-cold beer, grab a burger or slice of pizza, sit in the sunshine by myself, kick my feet up, and just take big, slow breaths of fresh air and watch. Jacob Smith, amen, brother. Jacob and those listening now, do me a favor if you can. I don't ask much of you guys, but if you can, pass the word of the show on to one friend. Get one friend to check us out if they haven't done so already. I would greatly appreciate that. Jacob continues, he's a lifelong Suns fan. They redefined fun for basketball and sports. It was a great time, but the heartbreaking losses still haunt me. Damn you, Robert Horry. Damn you, Meta World Peace. Yeah, man. See, the thing with the Suns, the Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire Suns, they got robbed because the NBA screwed them over with a suspension for coming off the bench. There was one particular year, and I can't remember what year it was, but it was their damn year. And they came off the bench in a fight, and David Stern suspended everybody, and they ended up losing a series that they should have won, man. Absolutely, positively heartbreaking, man. Heartbreaking indeed. In this hour of the show, of course, we have the best thing we heard today. You are also in the next segment. We're going to speak to a guest who has a different idea about this upcoming football season. And he's got some real validity to what he's saying coming up in the next segment here in this hour. You, of course, can be a part of it. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. Twitter, at Mark Ryan on air, at ESPN Upstate, at T-Hulk18. That's T-Hulk18 for Tim. And you can send us an email, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. Not to mention the fact that between now and the end of the show, if you would like, we will still take your Mark Ryan impression phone calls. Decision made by the end of the show today. 1-844-477-3776 is the number. We've got some really good calls, really good impressions thus far on the show. If you have an impression of me, and you have the best one, I will take you out to lunch if Tim deems that you had the best impression of yours truly by the end of the show today. As for us, it is time to do a little ditty we call Either Or. A couple options on life and sports. Either Or starts right now. All right, Tim, here we go. Who is a more likely surprise team in the National Football League, the Arizona Cardinals or the Carolina Panthers?
Oh, 100% the Arizona Cardinals. Definitely. With the weapons they have, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, and a young quarterback in Kyler Murray. And I like the run game. I think they found something with Kenyon Drake. I'm gonna take the Cardinals. I just have no faith in my Carolina Panthers for this upcoming year.
Oh, boy. I wanted to drop something positive here, man, but I'm going to say Arizona as well. I am such a big believer in Kyler Murray, man. I'm not so sure he's a great guy, but he's an amazing player. His athleticism is through the roof. He's incredibly accurate with the football. I think they're going to be so much better than people believe. And then you kind of look at the lay of the land in the NFC, right? And you're saying, okay, you got to have one division winner in every division. So in the NFC South, I'll go with the New Orleans Saints. In the NFC West, I'll go with the Seattle Seahawks. In the NFC North, I'll go with the Packers. In the NFC East, I'll go with the Cowboys. But you have two wild cards, right? Who do the Cardinals have to beat out to make the wild card? The Eagles, the Vikings, the Buccaneers. The 49ers might win the West, or the Seahawks. They could very well be vying for a wild card berth, man. They very, very well could. They would have to beat out either the Seahawks or the Bucks, the Seahawks or the Saints in order to get that done. I think they could win 9 or 10 games this year. Give me Arizona as a more likely surprise team than the Carolina Panthers. What do you got?
All right, which scenario is more likely to happen? FSU will be competitive against Clemson because they get them at home at Doak Campbell, or Madison Bumgarner will yell or have a confrontation with 10 players.
I think Madison Bumgarner is going to have a confrontation, man. I just feel
really?
Like that is very, very likely to happen. He's a confrontational cat.
Yeah, see, I kind of got to go with FSU here. They get Clemson at home, new coach, and I really do. I'm a believer in Mike Norvell. I really am. I think he can help turn them around a little bit because, let's face it, the talent's there at Florida State. It's just the coaching has been very lackluster. So I think he'll turn around. I don't think they'll win anytime soon, but I think they'll at least be competitive right off the jump.
There you go. There you go indeed. All right. Next up. Very simple yes or no question. Will Cam Newton work in Foxborough?
You have to define work. Like playoffs?
You define it.
Now, if we're talking playoffs, no, it will not work. And if we're talking about maybe having a winning season, possibly. Yeah. But maybe making a wild card. But if I have to pick one, I'm going to go no. I do not think it'll work out. And, again, I just don't believe in Cam's health. I don't think he'll ever be healthy again.
I think it will work out. I think they will exceed expectations this year. I think they'll go 8-8. I think they'll go 9-7. I think they'll just miss the playoffs. But I think, to me, here's how I define working out. They bring him back for another deal, right? They look at the one-year deal. They bring him back for a second deal. And I think Cam Newton will earn that second deal in Foxborough. What do you got, Tim?
Okay. Who would win in a yelling match or shouting match, I should say? Rob Brown or Mark Ryan?
What Rob Brown doesn't realize is that these pipes have been honed from 14 years of sports radio broadcasting and 20 years of trombone playing. These pipes are as rock solid as they get, all right? So what we do is not yelling, Tim. What we do is broadcasting, my brother. No, he's completely hopeless, child. Rob Brown is completely hopeless, child, in this debate, man. I can belt, brother. I can belt, and make no mistake about it.
Oh, I know. I agree. That's why I went with you. I think Rob's voice I think it gets a little louder because, yeah, it sounds a little scratchy. You know, and that's how he defined it too. So it's not like I'm saying something controversial here. I just think the way that you project your voice, I think you would sound a little bit louder.
I'm a little louder than Rob Brown, right?
Yeah.
You got to give it to me there, right? I mean, I think, what do you guys think? At 71307 on the text line, who could win in a decibels contest with a voice? Would it be yours truly? Would it be Rob Brown? I'd love to hear. I would love to hear, man. Absolutely love to hear. That is either or for today. right here on the show. You know, I'll tell you what. You know, I opened the show today, and I don't like doing this, but I feel like I owe you guys two things, right? I owe you guys to be honest with you and to work as hard as I can on the show, right? I owe you both of those things. And I'll tell you, man, my belief is that we're not going to have college football season in the fall. And I opened the show with that today, and I may have pissed off many of you. I may have been cursed out on many of your work radios today, work streaming services, because you didn't want to hear that, right? You want to hear something that's going to be uplifting. You want to hear something that's going to be positive. This has been the hardest thing for me, man, because you're torn as a host between wanting to talk about things that uplift your audience, but also I just feel so compelled to be real with you about what I'm seeing and thinking. And it is my opinion that we're not going to have college football in the fall. We will have the NFL in the fall. We will have Major League Baseball this month. We will have NBA basketball this month. And I believe we will have college football 2020 season in January 2021. Then we'll have another season back in the fall in 2021. I think we will have all of the above. But I think the college football season is going to be pushed back. I think it's going to be pushed back until January, because the decision on the college football season has to be reached in the next couple weeks. How could anyone in good faith and in good conscience make a decision to have a college football season within 2 weeks? What are you seeing? What are you observing that lets you know that that's possible? We have 37 positive cases on 37 positive cases on of COVID-19 right now on Clemson's football team. 37 positive cases right now. South Carolina could have a ton. We have no idea, because Will Muschamp won't tell us. Then this is happening with everybody being off campus, right? Everybody is off campus right now. And you mean to tell me that you're going to bring thousands of students back to campus and you're going to have that sort of environment and you're going to play college football then? You're going to play college football now? How is that even possible? Like, I would love, if you are an optimist that we're going to have a college football season in the fall, listen, man, change my mind. I want you to change my mind. I invite you to change my mind, but I do not see the will is there, but I don't see the way, right? What is the way to have a college football season in the fall, given what's going on? You know, in the last hour and a half, we've had the governor lecturing the residents of our state, saying, if you don't behave right now, you are not going to have you're not going to have a college football season. You're not going to have a high school football season. If you don't behave right freaking now, it is not going to happen. You're not going to have it. So I don't know, man. I don't know. And it's interesting. The governor does not want to put a mandatory mask order out there. You can have your opinion on that. I can have my opinion on that. But he's very clearly stating that the things you know, the things you love, are very much in jeopardy right now, are very much in jeopardy. So what are we going to see? What are we going to do? My prediction is the college football season is postponed until January. And I'm not trying to be a downer. I just feel such a responsibility to be real with you guys. All right? Coming up next on the show, I am going to tell you what. Somebody on this very topic has an idea, has a theory about where we are, about what we need to do. He is a nationally known columnist, and he's a columnist I've been reading for 25 years. Mike Bianchi joins us next. We'll hear from him here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides. Mark Ryan and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate, rolling on a hump day edition of the show. Our next guest is somebody I have been reading for, 25 years, something like that. I called him a colleague in 2008, 2007, ESPN 1080 The Team in Orlando, Florida. We both have one thing in common. We are known to agitate the natives, but I'll tell you what, he's the most read columnist in Orlando and is nationally known for a reason. Also found him to be an incredibly nice guy when I worked with him. Mike Bianchi joins us right now on the show. Mike, hope you and yours are healthy, happy, and safe. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, you too, Mike. You too, indeed. So Mike, I opened the show today with your article as the backdrop, predicting that the college football season will be moved to the spring. I think we're going to have the NFL season. I think there's a better than 50-50 shot MLB and NBA will be able to complete their seasons. But I think the advantages they have, colleges do not. And just kind of the lay of the land, realizing that this has to be decided by about July 16th, 2 weeks from Friday, I don't see things changing that much between now and Friday. I don't know how you play a college football season in the current landscape where we are. I think they have it. I think it moves to January. That is my firm belief. I don't know that you went ahead with that prediction in your article, Mike, but you posed the possible theory. I took it to the next step. Will ultimately this be what happens, Mike? College football move to January.
Well, that's a great prediction today. You probably wouldn't have predicted that 3 weeks ago, but today, yeah, with COVID-19 cases spiking around the country, around college football, a lot of college football hotbeds like Clemson and LSU and Texas, they have a lot of COVID-19 cases. Now, that can change. We all know that. We expected these guys to have a lot of positive tests. We'll see what happens, but yeah, they're going to have to make a decision pretty quickly. Nebraska's AD Bill Moose has said we need to do something by mid-July, and the thing that nobody's really talking about is that most of these college ADs, and I'm not just talking about the group of five, I'm talking about the big-time Power 5 ADs, like the SEC ADs, they want fans in the stands. That's how they make their money. Yes, they get a big TV check from the SEC network every year, but I use the University of Florida as an example in my column today. The University of Florida got, last year, they got a $43 million check from the SEC for all the media rights, the SEC network, all of that. That $43 million, they made $60 million alone on ticket sales and booster contributions last year. So, and that didn't even count some of the other ancillary income they get from having fans in the stadium. So make no mistake about it. College football's biggest revenue source is still the tickets. It's not the TV check. And that's why I think you're right. I think they're going to do everything they can to play games with fans in the stadium. And it's like Will Muschamp. He was on our show a few weeks ago. He says, if it's not safe for the fans, why is it safe for the players. So that's another aspect you have to take into account.
You know, there was an announcement made by the University of Arizona that they wouldn't be having students on campus for quite some time. And an Arizona football player yesterday said, Mike quote tweeted it and said, then why are we on campus right now? And so, I mean, that is a major headache. Like, why would you put the players at risk if you're not yet putting the student body at risk? And, you know, and this belief, Mike, that you have to have students on campus in order to play a college football season. Why is that such a sticking point to you, Mike, that you must have your full student body on campus in order for there to be a college football season?
Well, I think it's more for the optics of it. It's more for the PR of it. I mean, there's already the belief among many in the mainstream media that college football players and college athletes are exploited by the big money earning universities. So I think there's that, obviously, and the other thing is, it's true. These guys aren't pros. They don't get paid. They don't have a union to negotiate and look out for, their health protocols and all of that. So, yeah, I think there's going to – the Jay Billises of the world, if they trot these guys out to play football, in September in the middle of a pandemic and there's no students on campus, there is going to be an outcry and outrage among the mainstream media. So, yeah, I think that's a big PR issue for college football right now, especially in this day and time when college athletes are speaking out, not just about racial injustice, but about how they're treated on campus. So, yeah, that's a big, big PR issue for college football.
If we end up not having a fall college football season, if it moves to January, Mike, how much of this would you say is our fault collectively?
Well, the American population who hasn't taken this, obviously everybody is not in the same boat here, but there's a bad. I live in the state of Florida. It's been weeks. You would go into bars and restaurants, and there was no social distancing going on. People thought the face masks were a joke. It's like my colleague Mark Daniels says on our radio show: we are the only country in the world that could politicize a pandemic and make wearing face masks a debate about constitutional rights. So. Yeah, I think a lot of it is the American population's fault. We're the greatest country in the world, but when it comes to this pandemic, it seems many of us are the dumbest country in the world.
Could not agree more with everything you just said. And, Mike, when you say things about this, you probably know as well as I do. People turn the station on you. You have suddenly you look at Twitter and your Twitter followers have gone down by 100, right?
Well,
these are not popular things to say, but I think they need to be said and they need to be heard.
For the people who aren't listening to the epidemiologists and the medical experts, that's a you problem. That's not an us problem, all right? Actually, it is an us problem because the people who aren't listening who aren't taking precautions, they jeopardize everybody. They jeopardize the economy of the United States of America. I get a big kick out of a lot of the people who say, we need to open up the economy. We need to open up the economy. Well, then put your damn face mask on and let's try to open up the economy. That's how you open up the economy. You don't open up the economy by having the virus spread at a record rate, which is what it's doing right now.
Completely agree with you. I want to share this with you too, Mike. Perhaps you can use this. I'm not sure if you saw the report, but Goldman Sachs has a report out right now that if 95% of Americans wore masks, it would save the U.S. economy $1 trillion.
That's
in future shutdowns.
About.
You know what
even,
I'm saying?
Even if you don't care about anything else, even if you don't think that the virus, you think you're a strong, healthy guy and the virus isn't going to affect you, even if you think that, all right, at least think about your job. If sports doesn't come back soon, hell, we'll all be out of a job. Sports radio hosts.
Yes.
Sports writers, You know, the economy needs to open back up, and it needs to open back up in full. We need to do that. If you want football, if you want college football this fall, then let's flatten the curve. Let's be serious about this. This isn't a joke.
In no way, shape, or form. Yeah, or it's no joke. It is no hoax. A lot of good information in Mike Bianchi's piece. College football must seriously consider moving season to spring. It's out right now. All you need to do is do a search for those keywords, and you will find it. You know, and our own industry, Mike, is not immune to this. We had to play the clip, and this guy works for my company, Mike, Boomer Esiason. We had to play the clip of him yesterday ascertaining or hypothesizing that perhaps Dabo Swinney wants the whole team to get the virus. It blows my mind, man. It blows my mind. Dabo Swinney does not want his kids to get something that could kill them, okay? I don't know why this is even being
discussed. Dabo Swinney needs right now.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me at all. You know, look, UCF.
Does Boomer Esiason know that there's been no real scientific evidence that the quote unquote herd immunity actually works?
Exactly. We have no evidence. We have no evidence that, you know, what is your level of immunity that the antibodies give you? I've had multiple flus in my life, Mike. I'm sure you have as well. Are we protected for 3 months, 6 months? What if you could get the virus now and then you can get it again in September?
Well, they don't know that you can't. That's the thing. I mean, I've interviewed people, and I've listened to a lot of infectious disease experts on you know, Fox News and CNN, and that's what they say. We don't know if you can get it again yet. So this whole thing about Dabo Swinney wants his team to get that's the most asinine, ludicrous. Yeah. He should be suspended for a week for saying that.
I don't disagree with that, man. I said yesterday it was completely and totally irresponsible, and he works for my company. So, boy, it puts you in a tough spot. I'll tell you what, Mike, a team you cover, UCF, has been kind of the flavor of the month of the Group of Five for quite some time. I have an idea I want to bounce off you, Mike, that would make everybody eligible for the college football playoff. You keep it at four with one caveat. The Group of Five, the best Group of Five team, if undefeated, plays the four seed for the right to get into the playoff. This last season, it would have been Memphis versus Oklahoma. I think it would have been a heck of a football game. That would enable all 130 FBS schools to feel as though they had a shot, and you don't even need to expand the playoff.
Ooh, that's brilliant.
Thank you, sir.
That is one way. Yes, you could. You know, a lot of when UCF was undefeated, they didn't even get a sniff of the playoff. But yeah, that would have been a great way to settle it. Yes.
You don't need to expand the playoff. Everybody argues more games for the kids, etc. You could play theoretically this game the same week as Army Navy, and then you have your four: Memphis versus Oklahoma, UCF versus whomever. You don't even need to expand the playoff. Gives the Group of Five teams a fighting chance entering the season, which they don't have right now, and it would not require a major alteration of the current system in place.
When I go on the radio on my show in the morning, I know a good take when I steal one. Oh my God.
Hey, Mike, I dropped your name for this. You dropped my name. We're all good, brother. We're all good. All right? We're all good.
I'll give you attribution on that brilliant idea in the morning.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Mike Bianchi is a columnist I have been reading for 25 years. I find him wildly entertaining. I encourage you to read him as well. Our first chance to have him on the show. Mike, so greatly appreciate it, and hope you and yours stay happy, healthy, and safe here moving forward. All right?
You too, my brother. Good being on.
Thank you so much. Mike Bianchi of the Orlando Sentinel. What's good, everybody? Happy Friday. I hope you're doing very, very well. Fantastic. Always appreciate you guys being a part of it here today, man. I got a sneeze coming again, Tim. I got a sneeze. Goodness gracious, man.
Bless you.
Going on the whole show.
And you said a good Friday, too, man. Everything all good?
Oh, good God. No, it's not okay, man. It's not okay. That's the second time I've done that. Boy, can you tell that I am ready for a few days off, man?
No, I don't blame
days off,
you.
No days off. We've been rolling solid since early January and have tomorrow off, have Friday off, and then we'll be back again come Monday, man. It is time for a little bit of a break, and hopefully you guys enjoy the next few days off as well. Just joining, just got to say, no minor league baseball, but we allow dumb morons to destroy property and pull down statues. Left-wing insanity. They even let them go when they get arrested the next day. They can protest and destroy, but I can't go watch a damn baseball game, and we are in the Twilight Zone. They can kiss my they can all kiss my red-blooded American ass. People in this country are sheep that can't think for themselves. Instead, they listen to the left-wing media mob, just sick of this crap. Go away, liberals, and leave my country, my history, my safety, my police, and my sports alone. Does anyone have the balls or common sense in sports media to step up and say the truth? What would you like me to say, sir? Do you know for a fact that the person behind you not having Greenville Drive Baseball, do you know for a fact that person is a liberal? Because it's again, you are making this political. With what you're saying, your text is making it political. It's common sense dictated for the last 4 months that we wouldn't have minor league baseball. You know, it sounds like it's breaking news to you, but I didn't want to say anything about it because I don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings, and I don't want to upset the Greenville Drive, the Boston Red Sox organization, by revealing anything before it's announced. That's their announcement to make, Dexter. But I'll tell you one thing. I have known that there was not going to be a minor league season since early April. I've known for 90 days we weren't going to have a minor league season. And so, you know, this texter is acting like it's the result of left-wing media. Texter, I would tell you this. I would tell you, like, I am the media member. I can't find a media member that will shoot straight with you more than I will. Okay, I am the greatest degree of truth teller, of straight shooter that you will ever find. And I could tell you, you weren't going to have a baseball season. You weren't going to have a minor league season. I could have told you that in early April. It's the truth, Tim. It's the truth. Texter says common sense versus idiot left-wing propaganda media. Texter says, but they can protest and ruin my country. You know, I think what's ruining, and everybody can have their opinions on the why here, right? But I think, you know, like what's ruining the country right now is how poorly our country has dealt with the virus. If you look at the numbers, we are worse than any other country. You know, cases per 1 million people. Right now we're at 96. The United Kingdom is second in cases per 1 million people right now. They have 23. I mean, no matter what side you're on, okay, so when you say the statement I'm going to make, people will take it as a shot at the current regime in the White House. I'm just saying this. I think it's objective fact that we have sucked as a country dealing with the current pandemic. We've sucked. We've failed miserably at this. Okay? Now, it's possible that with a different president from a different party, we also would have sucked. It's possible we just weren't ready for this. But why have we sucked? You know, that is the question to me, right? That is the question to me. Why is protesting and destroying statues in mass fine? They get a pass. Again, protesting and destroying buildings is fine. Protesting is fine. Destroying buildings is not. And nor do citizens have a right by themselves to tear down statues. Those are only decisions made by state and local governments. You know, I said on the George Floyd situation, I said, look, it is possible to say both of these things. that, number one, this man was murdered, and this was a heinous act of police brutality. And it's also possible to say that I reject violence, looting, and burning. It is possible to say both of those things. That is not the way you handle yourself. Texter says, it's the damn flu, Mark. The flu never killed in this country 130,000 people in 3 months. The flu never killed that many people in 3 months, man. It's the reality of the situation. It is the reality, folks, of the situation. Want to share this with you because I think this is fascinating, man. Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated has an idea here to completely and totally change the landscape of college football. All right? And this is what he says. I'll read to you some of from his article here. A decade later, it's time to blow up what was done and start over. The COVID-19 pandemic's effects have been profoundly felt in a realm where for 10 years, money was no object and the map made no sense. He's talking about the map of college football, right? Who plays who? Missouri in the SEC, does that really make a lot of sense? Slapped in the face by a new fiscal reality, maybe we're due to both rein in and reach out to contract geographically into more regional conferences while expanding the scope of the revenue gusher that is the college football playoff. Here's what he does in his realignment. He has a 120-school ecosystem with 11 current FBS members relegated to the FCS, so he's going to demote them. Congratulations to North Dakota State. Condolences, because he's moving up North Dakota State to FBS. And condolences to UTEP, Texas State, UTSA, that's Texas San Antonio, University of Texas San Antonio, South Alabama, Louisiana Monroe, Bowling Green, New Mexico State, San Jose State, Coastal Carolina, Troy, and Liberty. All those schools suck anyway, right? He would have 10 leagues, each with 12 members, each designed to maximize proximity and reduce travel demands and costs. All current conference structures are broken and reassembled. So here's what he does, folks. Here's what he does. He divvies everybody up into regional locations. The Deep South Conference features the following teams: UCF, Florida; Georgia Southern, Miami; Florida Atlantic, Florida State; Georgia State, USF; Florida International, Georgia; Georgia Tech, and University of Alabama, Birmingham. That is the Deep South. That is your Deep South Conference. How about the Mid-Atlantic Conference? Anybody? Fry, Bueller, anybody? Here we go. You have the Appalachian State Mountaineers. You have the Duke Blue Devils. You have the North Carolina State Wolfpack, the Virginia Cavaliers, the Charlotte 49ers, the East Carolina Pirates, the Old Dominion. What are the Old Dominions? I have no idea what they even are. Virginia Tech Hokies, Clemson Tigers, North Carolina Tar Heels, South Carolina Gamecocks, and the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Dude, I'm here to tell you, we already saw South Carolina play Appalachian State last year, and they wore the L. But in that conference, if you played everybody in that conference, what would South Carolina's record be? Appalachian State 0-1, Duke 1-1, North Carolina State, I'll give South Carolina the win 2-1. Virginia would be a loss, that's 2-2. Virginia's already been a loss. Charlotte would be a win for South Carolina, 3-2. East Carolina would be a win, that's 4-2. Old Dominion would be a win, that's 5-2. Virginia Tech would be a loss, that's 5-3. Clemson would be a loss, that's 5-4. North Carolina would be a loss, that's 5-5. And Wake Forest would be a win. In the Mid-Atlantic Conference, the South Carolina Gamecocks would go 6-5. In the Mid-Atlantic Conference, Clemson, again, is not challenged at all. Second-best team in the league is North Carolina. Third-best team is Virginia Tech, Virginia? Eesh, I don't know, man. I don't know. See, the problem with this theory is it does away completely with what the Southeastern Conference has built. The Southeastern Conference would never sign up for this, man. Never in any way, shape, or form. The Rocky Mountain League would be badass. Air Force, Boise State, Utah, Arizona, Colorado, Arizona State, UNLV, Wyoming. That's kind of badass, right? Sun Belt Conference, I'm down. Alabama would be in the Sun Belt, really? Auburn, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, LSU. I mean, nobody would ever beat those teams. Mississippi State, Arkansas, Louisiana, laugh out loud. Memphis, Southern Miss, Arkansas State, Louisiana Tech, Ole Miss, and the Tulane Green Wave. And then the Yankee Conference, where all the sucky college football programs go to die. Army, UConn, Navy, Pittsburgh, Boston College, Maryland, Penn State. Penn State, man. Who's going to beat that team in that conference? Syracuse, Buffalo, UMass, Rutgers, and Temple. Penn State would get to play in a conference where the second best team is Boston College. You're kidding me with that, right? We're definitely joking with that, right? The Great Mideast would feature Akron, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, Ball State, Kent State, Michigan State, Purdue, Cincinnati, Miami of Ohio, Ohio, and Toledo. So you guys are getting the gist of this now, right? Like, he's broken it up. He's made it completely and totally regional, right? He's made it completely and totally regional. What is your take on this? What is your take on this particular divvying up of the college football, of the college football landscape here? I don't like it. I'll be honest with you. I really like what the SEC has built. I really like conference rivalries. This kind of exposes you as somebody who does not support equality in college football, right? I mean, this very idea would level the playing field big time between the haves and the have-nots. You'd have Tulsa in the same league, Rice in the same league as Texas, right? You would have in the Pac-12 San Diego State in the same league as USC. The lines between haves and have-nots in college football would be blurred completely with this, and you have to ask yourself the question, in the realm of college football, are we ready for that to be the case? Are we ready for that to happen? His realignment idea. He says the conferences will work for basketball and other sports as well. In fact, it would be better for non-revenue sports in terms of travel cost savings. And the 230-odd non-FBS programs that are part of NCAA Division I will remain aligned pretty much where they are, with a few exceptions. Look, it's really interesting, and it completely makes college football a geographical entity. You would be wondering the entire year, man, how would the Great Mideast with Indiana and Michigan fare against the Sun Belt with Arkansas State, LSU, and Auburn? Would the Arkansas States of the world, would the Rutgers of the world finally have a chance to compete under this new system? It's Pat Forty's idea, and I find it interesting. We'll close the show today with the best thing we heard today, which is coming your way next, immediately on the flip side. Right here, we are ESPN Upstate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the best thing we heard today. This was awesome, man. And, you know, look, I always say, man, I always preach seeing shades of gray. That's perhaps never been more important to do. Like, everybody's good guy, bad guy. We are so divided as a nation. That isn't one person's fault. This thing has been building. We have been being divided for a number of years. So we all want to classify people good guys, bad guys, right? Right and left. Are you with me or against me? Always the reality is you have good sides. I have good sides. You have bad sides. I have bad sides. Tim has good sides. I've yet to see any bad sides from Tim, but I'm sure we can talk to mom and dad and figure out what those are. I don't see it. I don't see any. I think we're all shades of gray, folks. And the proof of that is very well seen in Cam Newton, former quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. You know, people have said he's aloof, in his own world, marches to the beat of his own drum, can be immature, cannot do interviews when he doesn't want to do them. But then you really take a step back and you observe what Cam Newton did in his community, in the community of Charlotte. You know, there was an Auburn Tiger football fan that had cancer. And Cam, through back channels, heard about this kid who had cancer and Cam chartered his own flight to go see this kid. I mean, it took his whole day. Chartered a flight, flew to go see a kid in the hospital, spent 8 hours with the kid in the hospital. The kid had no idea Cam Newton was coming, all to make the kid's day. And you know what, man? You do something like that, you're in a good place with me, man. You're in a damn good place with me. Here is Cam Newton visiting a local, visiting a nearby area hospital with an Auburn fan who had a very serious case of cancer, a young child.
Why don't you turn that thing off a second?
Yeah, I know, but you're not
serious. What's going
on, buddy? How you doing?
You doing alright?
What's up? You doing good? I feel your heart, man. You're going up 1,000 miles per hour, baby. You doing alright? Nice to see you, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Doing good?
You know, look, say what you want about Cam Newton, man. And he never wanted the damn publicity. Never wanted it. But behind the scenes, when people weren't looking, he did a lot of good for a lot of kids. And somewhere, some way, Cam had a really good background with people that cared him, people that taught him good values. And I don't think he's a bad human being, man. I think he has his moments. I think I have my moments. I think you have your moments. But, man, to think about really kind of creating a highlight of a kid's life there, that is a fantastic thing. Folks, we are this much closer to sports, this much closer to sports on a July 1st. This month we'll have Major League Baseball. This month we will have NBA basketball. This month we will have it all, and I cannot wait. Off tomorrow, Patrick Creighton, my buddy from Houston, will be filling in for me. Make sure you check out his show. I think you'll like it. And back on Monday, thanks to Tim, thanks to everybody for listening to the most interactive sports radio show in the state of South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.